Todd Furman from the Bet the Board podcast. That's what a miraculous play in Portuguese sounds like.
You know what? It's just like the soccer calls you get all the time. And while there was that level of excitement, I can't imagine it was anything close to when Portugal knocked off France to win Euro Cup 2016.
No, that guy is still yelling goal, I think, now.
That's the kind of thing that gets statues built throughout Europe. I'm not sure Vikings faithful is trying to raise money right now to erect a statue of Case Keenum or Stefan Diggs just for winning that game. Now, if things change 2 weeks from Sunday, that might be a very different scenario.
Yes. Actually, before we dive into these games, Vikings and Eagles and Patriots and Jacksonville, The end of the game was interesting from a betting standpoint because most sports books had 5 or 5.5 as the line, and the Vikings come back out, and it's just a formality to line up for the extra point. So from a gambling standpoint, did you think there was a chance they might kick it and get that 6-point win and sway a bunch of bets, or what was going through your mind?
I would have been absolutely shocked. I figured what was going to happen was the Vikings were just going to line up against air, take the knee, and basically shut things down. So the fact that we had to watch that situation unfold for what felt like, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes, trying to go, all right, are the Vikings going to kick and take this final margin from 5 out to 6, or will the game fall 5? Definitely would have seen a lot of money changing hands, knowing that recreational bettors were betting the Saints at about a 65% clip, +5.5. So books would have loved the extra point to come in. They were just thankful the Vikings came back, won that game outright, eliminating a lot of that Saints money line liability.
Hey, with Wentz, what would this spread be on Sunday, do you think?
Assuming that the Eagles were still performing at the high level to close out the end of the regular season, and it wasn't just that slight power rating adjustment, you'd be looking at Philadelphia in that 4.5 to 5-point favorite range.
Okay. Right. Todd Furman from the Bet the Board podcast. And last, we'll get right into the games here. There's a lot to talk about. But last week in the divisional round, we upped it to 2 points per game for our playoff score. We reset the standings. Judd won the regular season. And so with 2 points on the line for each game last week, I went 6-0-2 or 3-0-1. Judd went 2-4-2, and Dave went 4-2-2. So the standings are now 8-2-2 in the playoffs for me. Dave is 6-4-2, and Judd is 4-6-2, if that makes sense.
That's a lot of math for even me to try and process. So as long as you guys understand, that's the most important part.
It is, yes. And so this week, 3 points are going to be on the line for each of these two games as we ramp up the stakes. And let's start right here. I'll go first, then Dave, and then Judd, and then Todd tells us what's going on here. New England, 7.5 is the number that we grabbed last night. 7.5-point favorites at home over Jacksonville. And I think, so here's my theory on this game. Jacksonville is getting all the love for being this top defense, and people are even ignoring the 40-plus points that the Steelers put up last week. And, Jacksonville defense, this or that. If you go back to like the midpoint of the season, the last 10 or 15 games, like 10 or 12 games, I believe the Patriots have actually allowed fewer points per game defensively than the Jaguars, which is incredible. So if it comes to, let's say defenses cancel out more than people think, and I get home team and I get presumably healthy Brady, but we'll have to find out about that hand. I'm going to go Patriots to cover. I'm going to swallow the points. Dave?
That's interesting. Very interesting. I think that's where I want to go, but I'm still not sure, which is a problem because I have to make the pick right now. With what Jacksonville did last week, I really want to pick it because with the Brady hand being a worry, 7.5 seems like a little bit too much, but it seems like every time I say, 14 points is way too much, the Patriots still cover it. They seem to have no problem whatsoever covering anything, no matter how high the spread is. And with only 7.5, I think I'm going to finally go Patriots. They will romp.
The Steelers had distractions and infighting all year long. The Steelers were haughty. The Steelers played dumb. The Patriots have none of those problems. Jacksonville's defense is very good. But when Blake Bortles is your quarterback, I have a very hard time believing that you're actually going to make it to the Super Bowl. So I will go Patriots as well.
Professional bettors backing Jacksonville in this particular spot. Number got as high as 9.5. That's where they pounced on the Jags, thinking there was a little bit of opportunity there that this game would be played tight, a little bit more competitive in that over-under of 46.5. Then you add the Brady injury into the mix and the fact he didn't take any reps with the first team on Thursday, which is a little bit unusual for a guy that's a creature of habit and loves to try and do as much advanced preparation as he possibly can. That's the story we'll be watching by the minute. Interesting to see some sports books known to cater to much larger clientele go as low as a touchdown. Professionals backing Jacksonville, but if Brady's at 100% or anything close, I'm not sure that I'd be willing to go to the window with that same ticket as they are.
Yeah, what is your read on New England's defense going into maybe these last two games?
I think it's a lot better than people want to give them credit for. We know that they were on a historic pace from a negative standpoint early in the year, giving up yards in chunks, unable to stop anybody. And the one thing we've seen from the Patriots, even if they don't have some of the key contributors they need on the defensive side or big names, they're going to take away your primary option. So in this case, if Jacksonville can't run the football, do they have enough in the passing game or can they get creative? Because I don't think we're going to see a scenario where the Patriots know Jacksonville wants to run and Leonard Fournette can go for 100 yards plus.
Right. All right. Vikings in their first NFC championship game in 8 years. They got beat 41 donut back in 2000, and then we know the 98 heartbreak. So this is a game that doesn't traditionally go well for the Vikings the last 40 years or so, and they're playing in a tough road environment as 3-point favorites in Philadelphia. I think the Vikings have the better coach. I think they have the better quarterback. I think they have the better overall team defense, even though Philadelphia does have a great defense and they are playing at home. I'm going to swallow the points on this one, too, and take the Vikings to not only win, but win by more than a field goal. Dave?
In the last few years, Todd has taught us maybe nothing more important than if you've got a home underdog, you ride that underdog as long as possible until you get to the window. However, I don't care. I don't know why. It's my head or my heart. I can't figure out which, but I really think the Vikings are going to kick the crap out of them. I don't think it's a game. I think Vikings win, as I said last hour, by at least two scores.
All right.
I think it's far closer than that, Dave. But if Nick Foles is going to start against this defense, I have faith in the Vikings. I think the Vikings could easily win this game. It's a close game, but I think they could win by 4 or 5 points. So I also will jump on the Vikings.
Wow, we are in lockstep.
Professional bettors disagree with you guys here as well. This number got as high as 3.5 before there was an appetite for Philadelphia as a home underdog. When you look at these two teams' makeup, I don't want to quite say they're mirror images of one another, but a ton of similarities with strong defensive lines. Philadelphia, of course, going to benefit from playing at home. They may have a chance to get off on early snap counts. Whereas when you look at Minnesota, this is a team that's been extremely stout against the run, but that number isn't nearly as good when they go on the road as what we've seen at home. I do think that Philadelphia is going to have to try and empty the kitchen sink. You don't have 2 weeks to prepare the same way you did last week for Atlanta, where they look like anything but world beaters in that particular spot. I know where the pros are coming down, but I actually echo your guys' sentiments. I think as this number were to tick lower, I might be inclined to try and back the Vikings on the money line. I feel like they're the much more complete football team. When you look at what they were able to accomplish last week, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, I really believe they'll be able to carry some of that momentum forward and improve their against the spread record of 34-15 over the last 49 to a nice round number at 70% success rate, getting to the window 35 out of the last 50 games.
So the number, the over-under number we saw, and this might have changed in the last 48 hours, but 38.5. Now that's for people who don't, you know, look at the over under number in NFL games, for just a standard NFL game, 38.5 is a really low over under. You see a lot in like the low 40s, some of the high scoring shootout projections or maybe high 40s or like 52, 53. And even with the low 38.5 ish number, we're all sitting here thinking, I think the under is kind of the obvious bet. What are the sharps saying about that number?
You've actually seen money come in on this game over the total. Opened as low as 37.5, in some spots 38, ticking up to 39.5. But as this number trends up, you will see an appetite from underbettors looking to try and make a case for this being a defensive slugfest. I've gone through the game a number of times and try and figure out where the big plays come from and some of the firepower. Unless they're short field and the game turned into a two-score margin at any point where you had to trust one of these quarterbacks to chuck it around playing in comeback mode, I just see this as a very low-variance game where both teams will be more than content to punt the football and force their opposition to drive the length of the field rather than trying to force things, especially early on, where a costly mistake could send the season sideways in a real hurry.
Yeah, one more quick question for you. Do you have, like, is there a ranking of home field advantages? And if so, where would Philadelphia fall?
There is not. That's one that's universally accepted. When you look at a lot of the scenarios, the Seahawks at the top of their dynasty playing in prime time at night, I usually made about a 4.5-point adjustment there. Wow. The Vikings, for me, have become one of the top five home field advantages at that 3.5-4-point range. Philadelphia, if they had some elements working in their favor, you'd be talking about a shade over a full field goal. But for a game like this, I'm using about a field goal adjustment for home field advantage, basically stating that the Vikings would be a shade under a touchdown if they were played on a neutral field.
Right on. All right, if people are craving content, what are they going to find on Bet the Board this weekend, Todd?
We did a deep dive on both these games, obviously. Also talked to Dave Mason from betonline.ag to get the books perspective. perspective in terms of how the playoffs have gone thus far, what particular Super Bowl matchup they've actually seen early money on amongst the four combinations, and why that there is one potential scenario that the books don't want to see because they just don't think the betting handle would be there, in addition to isolating, you know, one best bet, so to speak, that we think is worth making, since we know of a lot of folks with only three meaningful football games left before we close the book on this season are going to look to be in action one way or another.
Can you imagine, Furman, if this league gives us Jaguars Eagles?
I don't think it would be an ideal scenario, and those prop bets, I know everybody that flies into Vegas for their 72-hour bender Super Bowl weekend, let me tell you, they'd be real excited to try and figure out who would be favored to throw for more yards between Nick Foles and Blake Bortles. Let's just hope for the sake of the game that's not the matchup we end up with.
I'm with right you, Todd.
All right, Todd, great stuff, man.
Always a pleasure, gents. Good luck with your picks, and I know it'll be either a very festive atmosphere on Monday or one that's rather somber, depending on how the Vikings game goes on Sunday.
There will be zero in-between, so we'll see what happens. All right, buddy, see you.
Be good.
Todd Furman from the Bet the Board podcast. Just to add to what he was saying, from Bet Online AG, they have, I got this from our guy Ryan Stanzel a couple days ago, the Vikings would be a 5.5-point favorite against the Jaguars in a Super Bowl right now. That's what the line would be. They'd be 2.5-point underdogs against the Patriots. Only 2.5-point underdogs against the Patriots. They're currently plus 175 to win the Super Bowl. Pats are plus 100. And you can also bet on Super Bowl MVP, in which Case Keenum would be 4-1 and Stephon Diggs 14-1. Some interesting nuggets there.
Did Todd just say at the height of their success that he gave the Seahawks a nighttime home field advantage of 4.5 points?
Up to 4.5.
That's remarkable.
So he handicapped, I believe he was the odds maker for Caesar's Palace for a while.
Yeah.
And that's a monster number.
I was going to say, that is, if you start at that.
Well, isn't the standard three? Like, three is kind of the home field handicapping advantage.
Yeah.
So he's saying Seattle, on top of the average home field, is worth like another point and a half in their heyday anyways. Oh. So, all right, we have three segments here in which we can open up phone lines. How confident or not are you going into Sunday? I don't think there's any in between for emotions. If they win, it's going to be unlike anything we've seen in 40 years, maybe ever, just because of the magnitude of the NFL now and the Super Bowl being in town. If they lose, it's going to be horrible. 651-646-8255. Where are your emotions at right now? 877-615-1500. We'd love to hear from you. Or if you're, I don't know, if you're one of those Philadelphia bravado generic trash talkers and you're
call
just scouting
up and
us.
Trash talk us. We'd love to hear.
We'll open up the lines to all you guys. Also, at some point this hour, we're hoping to catch up with Chris Long from Philadelphia. And I have a Mike Zimmer X Factor I want to run by you as well. But first of all, Luther Brookdale Toyota is a proud sponsor of the Mackey and Judd Show and of the Touch 'Em All podcast. So here's what's happening right now. They've got 0% financing on 2018 RAV4s and $500 in bonus cash for you to get into that RAV4. That's one of the best vehicles in the world right now. And, you know, wintry conditions for another couple months here in the Twin Cities. You want to be safe. You want to have great safety features on your vehicle. You want to make sure you got great four-wheel drive, spaciousness. Well, the RAV4 gives you all of those things. You can also lease one for just $199 a month, and that's with a very reasonable down payment. How about a 2018 Highlander XLE for just $299 a month? If you're looking for a pickup, you can finance a 2017 Tacoma or Tundra, still very new vehicles, for 0.9%, 60 months. There's also a ton of trade-ins that came in last month to Luther Brookdale Toyota, and they have a huge selection of used vehicles on the lot because of it. So I got to cheers a couple with my buddy Ron Murray, the GM at Luther Brookdale Toyota, at the Diamond Awards last night. These are great people. They'll treat you like family and friends, like they have for my family for 30-plus years. 694 on Brooklyn Boulevard and LutherBrookdaleToyota.com.
Mackie and Judd are back on 1500 ESPN.
I'm expecting it to be crazy. That's why, you know, we're communicating a lot right now to make sure that, that we don't have to communicate, or if we do communicate, that we're on the same page during the game, because I'm feeling I'm not going to be able to hear much. You're not going to be able to hear me do a lot of things.
Just reading some of the feedback. How confident or not are you as a Vikings fan? 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Let's see. Dr. Bits says, how confident am I going into the game? 25%. By the time the game starts on Sunday, probably 5%.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Our guy Paul tweets in, I'm not confident at all. The Vikings blew it when they lost to Detroit at home. It cost them home field for this game. I have no faith that they will win. Spoken like a true Minnesota Wild fan.
This is true. Very good, Paul.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Flirte Curte, you're on the Mackey and Judd Show. Curte.
Flirte?
Curte.
Hello. Oh. Goodbye.
You can't put that name on a call and then not answer when you're being yelled at there.
That's true.
I want to run something by you here because I think there's a factor we haven't talked a lot about that I thought yesterday. I just kind of popped into my head. I was trying to put myself in the shoes of Mike Zimmer and I was kind of curious about like what's going through his mind this week as he's trying to get his team off of cloud nine and into preparation mode to go into a really tough environment against a really tough team, and the Patriots are on the horizon. Think about how great you're going to have to be as a head coach to go through Drew Brees, Philadelphia, and then maybe Tom Brady on the other end of this with all the noise after the Stephon Diggs play and the home Super Bowl noise that will happen if you do beat Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the X factor in this game and moving forward is the fact that Mike Zimmer's life work is on the line over the next 3 weeks. And it might sound kind of corny, but if you think about it from this standpoint, he's the best defensive mind in the NFL, for my money. And his legacy of being the best defensive mind maybe over the past 20 years is on the line against Brees, on the road against Philadelphia, against Tom Brady. He's not going to leave any preparation stone unturned. You're not going to get like a mediocre preparation performance from Mike Zimmer in the lead up to this game on the road.
Right.
If they lose, it's not going to be because he got outcoached or overlooked something or didn't think about something. And that should be comforting if you're a Vikings fan, knowing that this guy has been he's 61 years old. He's been a full-time football coach for 40 years, Missouri, Weber State in the state of Utah, all the way across the country, Washington State to Atlanta, down to Dallas, up to Cincinnati, to Minneapolis, 40 years as a full-time football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And over that stretch, he's been to one Super Bowl, one. So he understands that you take this full four-decade period of his life, and he's been there one time. He understands how rare and fleeting and precious those moments are. Now, the 95 Cowboys won that Super Bowl, but he wasn't the one that got credit for it. He was the defensive backs coach, and they had Aikman. They had all these Hall of Famers. And even, you know, Barry Switzer was the coach, but people give Jimmy Johnson credit for that Super Bowl because he built the dynasty to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that he is that great as a preparation defensive coach, and he understands how rare these moments are, he's not going to be the one that blows it with his lack of preparation.
This is why when in his pressers, he brings up things. The one thing with Mike is if for a football coach, if you watch his tells, they're pretty obvious most of the time. He doesn't have the poker face, and it's why in his pressers, he brings up things that concern him that he knows he can't control. If you watch him talk about defense, he's always really confident. He's always really sure because he knows that defensively, guys might screw up, but the preparation is fantastic.
Yeah, but he talks about Keenum's throws.
Right, but think about the things that he brings up in post games after wins, like Sunday. He talks about Keenum's throws. He talks about things he can't control, and this goes back to the conversation that we had last week, which is those are the things that I think keep him up nights. Defense never does. Like he might think of something, but he never wakes up and says to himself, "Oh my God, I didn't prepare Kendricks correctly or Barr correctly." There is not a shadow of a doubt, self confidence with him. He knows that he has prepared all of those guys absolutely. But what worries him, and rightfully so, are the things, especially on offense or special teams, where he thinks they're prepared, but. In those situations, you have to put the ball with the player.
Right. But
that's what worries him.
And I would say, think about it from this perspective. If you're undecided on where to put your money on this game, Vikings and Eagles, your figurative or actual money, or maybe you look ahead. And I know that Bill Belichick cares a lot about legacy and Tom Brady. So that'll be a whole nother conversation if that happens.
Yes.
But it just on the path to get there, his kids are growing up. Football is his life. It's everything. His wife tragically passed away a decade ago. His kids are grown up. He goes home and thinks only about football. He wakes up in the morning and thinks only about football. He's past the age of 60, so he's not you know, he doesn't have the comfort in the back of his mind of, well, this is great. Like Sean McVay got to the playoffs, and not that he didn't put a ton of prep work in either, but yeah. In the back of his mind, he knows, man, I'm going to be doing this for 20, 30 more years if I want to. That's not the case with Mike Zimmer. He might still coach another 5 or 10 years. I'm not saying he's going to retire tomorrow, but he's definitely on the back nine and then maybe on the final 3 or 4 holes of the back nine. And this chance isn't guaranteed to pop up again next year or in 5 years. I think he looks at this as his chance to define his legacy and his life's work as a 40-year full-time football coach and really put his stamp on being maybe the greatest defensive coach of this particular 10 to 15-year era or generation.
I think
that's what's going through his head.
I also think, most importantly, if you're him, you're thinking to yourself, we had that game completely lost on Sunday. We had blown that game, 10 seconds left, and we win a complete miracle. And now we play Philly in Philly, and we get Nick Foles. There are some years that you make nice runs, but you just flat out, at some point in time, run into superior teams. You're not doing that here. Perhaps the Patriots. But so far, you get the Saints, Hall of Fame quarterback, really good team. You blow the lead, you should have lost the game, and you don't. Now you get Philadelphia, and you get Nick Foles with your defense. So it's twofold. It's twofold to me in one, the simple opportunity that you have here by getting this far, and then you look, how often are this many factors going to start to come together for you?
Yeah.
This to me goes back to what I've talked about before. It's sports karma. And these are the type of years where if you don't at least get to the Super Bowl here, you're going to be looking back and being like, how do we blow that chance?
Yeah, and the reason why, to go back to our conversation from a couple days ago, the reason why I'm so adamant that now that you're this far and you have this defense and you had that stroke of luck or fortune against the Saints, winning a Super Bowl is the only thing that will make this successful, in my opinion. I know we disagree on that, in part because you're not going to be able to guarantee any of these factors or stars aligning going forward. The NFL is way too much of a shape-shifting league. The only real constant over the past 10 to 15 years is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Even the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, they can't put together
guys
defense.
Guys get hurt, things
fall apart.
Are
so fleeting that you're... Yeah. We thought the Seahawks were going to be this NFC powerhouse for a long time. They missed the playoffs.
Fired all their coaches. Can't sit here right now and say, we're going to be great for 5 years. You don't know that. If you have two players on defense get hurt in 2018,
it's
changes,
not the same.
It changes the entire picture for you.
Yep. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Flirte Curte.
Hey, guys. What do you think of my new call-in name?
I'm still trying to process it.
It kind of reverts back to a certain FM station that I used to listen to, so we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, yeah, you were a big-time caller on Cities 97. I do remember.
Correct. Right. I was a big Adam, whatever.
Loved KS95 back in the day. Thanks
exactly.
for switching to us.
Yep, my talk caller.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say there was some trash talking on that FM station yesterday from 3 to 6.
Okay.
About how great their ratings are and that, they're so much better than everybody. So I just wanted to give you that. You do what you will, move on.
That's great. Congratulations.
It's also
an antiquated playing field that is not the only measurement, but that's anyways.
But my main point is, I've been listening to all these, big bravado guys from Philly calling and their sports talk going, freaking this, freaking that. And I went back to a very useful resource called Wikipedia. You may have heard of it.
Yep, absolutely. It's ironclad. Ironclad, yeah. Yep.
And researched the Philadelphia championship legacy. It's not good.
No.
I mean, they're as bad as we are. If we didn't, the Lynx really, tilt our scale all the way over. But, they had the Flyers in 2010 go to the Stanley Cup.
And lost.
They didn't win.
Yep.
The Phillies, they got a World Series a while ago. But after that, there's nothing. I mean, they are not that good. Where do they get the false bravado? I know they want to be New York and Boston. They think they're part of that, group. They're not. And it's bugging me, and I just want to beat them even farther. Your impressions?
They're trying to scare you.
It's spot on, man.
That's what they're trying to do.
It's such a fraudulent sports fan culture there. It's like you said, They've had one major professional sports title since the album Thriller came out. Yet it's been unwarranted bravado for decades.
Flirte, they want to intimidate you. They want you to shrink because you're so scared that they're talking tough. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Well, if I was going to the link, this the missing link, as we're calling it right now, I would be probably not wearing purple, but I'd be secretly wanting them all to get punched in the face. Love talking to you guys. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for calling in, man. I said this early in the show. Show up. There's all kinds of options. If you're a Vikings fan, you don't have to wear purple to the game. Go get a Randall Cunningham. Go get a Minnesota tie-in Eagles jersey. So that you can know, hey, it's a Sam Bradford Eagles jersey, Randall Cunningham, Chris Carter Eagles jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it represents, but you also don't have to worry about some idiot 5 beers deep or 53 beers deep.
Getting hit by a battery.
Stabbing you or something, right.
Yep.
All right, Bob in Pennsylvania. What's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
So I listened to Harry's call earlier, and he's right about Philadelphia fans with their false hero. Fictional hero Rocky Balboa. They got a statue. I don't know where it is, front of the library, front of one of those stadiums.
Yep.
But the fact is, they do have that statue, and that idolized him. And the problem with that this weekend is that the eye of the tiger will work against him because Case Keenum is bringing that into the link on Sunday at 6:40. And when he does, he has his team behind him. He has Diggs behind him. Thielen, the dog. Thielen and Diggs, the dog. He's got Rhodes. He's got Harrison. He's got Trey Waynes, who's playing out of his mind this year. And we're coming into the link. We're going to get the win because we have a better team. We're going to break the spirit of the Eagles.
Bob.
The only win at the link for the Eagles this year was against a winning team, was against Atlanta. And they were very fortunate to come out with that win. Nick Foles threw a 25-yard pass over the middle with less than a minute left. It was right in the hands of the Atlanta safety. It hit him right in the numbers. The ball flew up 50 feet in the air, and somebody came down, an Eagles receiver came down with it. They got a cheap field goal right before the half. Had they not gotten that final drive that Atlanta put on to end the game would have probably resulted in a game-winning field goal, and the Eagles would have lost. Now, a lot of shoulda, woulda, coulda, but that's Nick Foles. Right before the half, he's trying to get him down the field. He throws it right into the safety's hands. Well, I'll tell you what, Harrison is hungry for that kind of throw. That's all I have to say.
Bob, bark like a dog for us. Bark like a dog for us, Bob.
No, I'm not going to bark like a dog because I'm not going to act like an Eagles fan. And let me tell you, I'm trying to get to this game. My best friend, he has season tickets. And he's got a group of Eagles fans. They're all Eagles fans. I called him yesterday. I've been calling. Look, you know, I want to go to this game really bad. I mean, I know I'm going to break tradition. The enemy has to come in. You know, he's trying to get me into the game. He said, look, I'm going to text you in about 20 minutes. He said, if you go, he goes, I might have to bring a couple Secret Service agents to protect you. And I said, that's fine. Because either way, I'll be wearing my number 11. Deep purple Dante Culpepper jersey.
Wow.
You're prepared to throw
Bring
down, Bob?
Wow.
You're prepared to throw down, Bob.
Go for it all, Bob. Go for
You're
it all, baby.
You're prepared to go. Brass knuckles.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Yes. That's what I'm playing for that locker before they go out. Eric, you're on the Mackie and Judd show.
Be riling up Eagles fans.
Yeah.
What's up, Eric?
So let me start by saying my first Vikings memory is my dad burning all of his Vikings gear after the loss to Washington in 87.
Darren Nelson couldn't hang on to the Wade Wilson pass in the end zone. Remember
Vikings
well.
Memory.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I remember 98, super confident. We're playing the Falcons. Who are they? They had never done anything in their history up to 98. Of course we were going to beat the Falcons. I mean, does anybody even know who their quarterback was to this day? And we blew it.
Yeah.
And
was it Chris Chandler, by the way, right? That's the answer to that.
It was Chris
Chandler.
Trivia
question, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the Dirty Bird, yeah.
I guarantee 95% of people don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
And then the Giants game, that, you know, everybody turned that off 15 minutes into it because we all knew what was happening. 09, again, the Saints, they had done virtually nothing in their history. And we had Favre and we had Peterson. And we thought, all right, this is going to happen. We're not going to lose to the Saints. And then, of course, we lose.
Mm-hmm.
So this game, I'm resigned to not have a lot of confidence. I'm going to be wishful, but I'm not terribly hopeful because I got my hopes up too much in 98, in 2000, in 09. And I just can't. I left in the Saints game this last week.
Yeah.
When I got to 21-0, I said, I got to get out of here. And I went and plowed my sidewalk. I came back in time to watch the last 3 minutes and watch, you know, the miracle play. I was fortunate that I, you know, was so angry. I was going fast and plowing my sidewalk, so I got back in time. But I'm not going to allow myself to get hyped up and say, yes, this defense is going to dominate. Yes, Keenum is going to outplay Foles. Because we've seen a loss to Atlanta and New Orleans, all these teams.
Yeah.
And it was like, who are these teams?
I think, Eric, thank you for the call. I think you speak for pretty much like most of Vikings fans that wishful, mildly confident, hopeful, but still clinging to all these terrible moments in the past.
I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident. Was that his line?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
And meanwhile, Eagles fans are calling up, yeah, we're going to win. We always win. Well, really, you don't. And our fans are like, yes. I'm sorry that we made it this far, and I hope we don't blow it now.
It's over-projecting. We're going to check in before the top of the hour with Chris Long from Philadelphia. He's been around like the Fanatic hosts all day, and he's been at Hooters and different places. So we'll get a flavor from Philly before Mike Morris comes in at noon.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
Don't you like to see these two bloodthirsty scumbags going after each other?
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Mackey and Judd, we will get a little flavor from Philadelphia. Chris Long from Channel 5 has been out there for the last couple days from KSTP, 5 Eyewitness News. And we'll do that before the top of the hour. Superstar Mike Morris is on the way in about 20 minutes. Let's run through some more phone calls here. 651-646-8255. How confident are you if you're a Vikings fan right now? And if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I know a lot of you guys have been listening because both your sports radio stations are telling you to infiltrate our airwaves like soldiers. So we'll take your phone
They're
calls
proud of you for doing
if
so.
You want to call in too. Let's go to, is it JJ in Pennsylvania?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, dude?
My call, guys. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the soldiers, the unsung heroes out in Philadelphia. Really appreciate all their service to the great work that they're doing out there. I actually live about like an hour outside of Philly, so this is basically my life dealing with them and their unsung bravado that they go with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to call and see if you think that some of these soldiers were also the ones that were maybe the ones throwing snowballs at Santa Claus back in the day, or maybe these soldiers were the ones that punched the police horse this week or last week, or the ones that – you guys remember that story a couple years back about how the one Phillies fan intentionally threw up like the 8-year-old girl?
Oh, vaguely, yes. I've forgotten completely about that.
In fairness, the 8-year-old girl was wearing a Cowboys jersey, so she earned it. I got to be honest.
Basically asking for
yeah,
it.
For sure, dude.
But, yeah, I mean, this is like the hubris that I deal with all the time, living around Philadelphia fans, in which that, I mean, you guys have been hitting on the nail on the head the whole week, but they just live in this weird envy of having to deal with like the metro Washington, D.C. area, Philadelphia, or Pittsburgh, New York, Boston, that they've just created this mentality of if we're not going to win on the field, we're going to win in the parking lot.
Right.
Unbearable.
Yeah.
Truly unbearable.
Yeah.
They can't deal with not even being the best city in the state.
Yeah, JJ, thank you. JJ. Thank you for the phone call, man. All right, let's go over here. Mike in Philadelphia. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you want to talk about the Eagles, fan? When the last time you won a championship? Huh? When the last time you won a championship? You got the stupid Timberwolves. When the last time they won a championship? Mm. Can you do name, huh?
Is there like a stereotype robot that just keeps calling in from Philadelphia?
Championship in Minnesota, huh? Answer that question, huh?
There's a stereotype robot.
What's your stupid horn?
Do you mean the Lynx who just won a championship, or the Twins, or which team?
Hey, Mike, where does your false bravado come from?
Go Eagles! EAGLES Eagles!
Can I ask a question?
Mike knows how to spell.
Mike, why do you tie your self-worth to laundry?
Mike just hung up.
Mike infiltrated and then got off, which is why we had to get the questions in as quick as possible.
I'm surprised he spelled Eagles correctly, actually. Well,
you might
done.
Have stumbled over the last couple there.
It's just rote. They're just taught. They're taught. They don't know. They can't spell. But what they're told as children is just say this. That's it.
Now, as I was screening his call, he burped twice. So I have a feeling he's been, tip it a few back.
Hey, you know what? And it's Friday. That's great. That's awesome.
It's afternoon at Philly, too. So.
Like, if you're a Philadelphia sports fan and you're calling into, any fan base's radio station, and you're asking, as a Philadelphia sports fan, when's the last time you won a championship?
Yeah.
Well, let's see here. You guys have won since 1983. One. So basically, unless you're under the age, if you're over the age of 45, you might remember the Broad Street Bullies. All of them are in nursing homes now. You might remember the 1983 76ers. Yeah, they're all 80 now. Like, you're not the Red Sox fan base. You're not the Yankees fan base. If a Yankees fan wants to call in and trash talk, you can have the airwaves for 4 hours. Well, yeah. You own the Twins, and you have almost 30 championships. It is such fake, false.
But here's the best part.
BS bravado.
Here's the best part, and here's how dumb this entire thing is. His main point was the Timberwolves. Last time I checked, the 76ers have spent, the better part of the last 5 or 6 years being an absolute laughingstock themselves.
They're trusting the process.
So, yes. So if you're going to call up with something, don't bring your crappy basketball team from the last handful of years where you've been a complete joke.
Yeah, dude, it is. It's amazing. Here's the best part, too. We mentioned this 3 hours ago. You get these idiots like Mike in Philadelphia. Yo, when's the last time you won a championship? We're going to beat your ass, EAGL. Your quarterback is Nick Foles, and you're about to face a Mike Zimmer defense. Search deep down inside your soul. You're super nervous deep down about what's going to happen inside your own stadium in front of 70,000 idiots with dog masks on. And so you're over-projecting, and you're trying to win the tough guy battle in the parking lot. You're 12 years old, man. Like, come on. It's so stereotypical. Don't feed into the stereotype. We're going to beat you.
Mike will call. God. Mike will now call into a show very soon in Philly and get credit for it. Great job, Mike.
I showed those guys what's up. All right. Let's get Chris Long on the phone when we come back, and superstar Mike Morris. No, gonna beat your ass.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
What's wrong with it?
I love the fact that people can't stand it.
Yeah.
Or that a lot of people can't stand it. It's great.
Mackey and Judd.
If you'd voted for Donald Trump, you can't stand it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, you're
right.
Convinced this is the worst thing ever to happen in sport. Right.
Yeah. On 1500 ESPN.
Hey, this Saturday, tomorrow, you can join Reavers at Lacan's Marine in Faribault from 10 until noon for their January open house. Stop into Lacan's Marine between now and the end of the month for exclusive boating fun featuring select fishing boats, outboards, pontoons, seminars, and more. Details at 1500ESPN.com, keyword events.
Welcome back to 1500 DERP, derp, your home of generic Eagles trash talk.
How many championships you won? Give me a cheesesteak, wit.
Oh, Chris Long,
Hi.
This has been
super
fun.
You've been out there, actually.
How have you been able to... You've been out there for 2 days in Philadelphia. Yeah. Is it just a sea of derp Eagles fans, or is it just an isolated bunch that continues to tweet us and call us?
Both, I think. I mean, generally, we haven't had any trouble with anybody yet, but there is a lot of... they like to let you know their opinions, and... You know, we haven't spent a lot of time anywhere we shouldn't be after dark.
you know, wearing anything purple, so I haven't really felt the full wrath. But I can tell you this, we just left your buddies from the Fanatic. We shot a little story with them that we're going to probably run tomorrow. And that was a fun scene. They were at a Hooters in King of Prussia. And the guys that came out there, we just kind of sat in the corner and observed, and we didn't say anything until we were leaving. The guys with the show knew we were from Minnesota. The fans didn't, so we're kind of just talking back and forth with some people as the day went on. And as we're leaving, we said we were from Minnesota, and it was, get out of here, boo! Don't talk to these guys!
Oh my
and it was
God.
Kind of in jest, but...
oh, no.
It's just a different kind of passion here. It's not more passionate or more mean-spirited necessarily than Minnesota. It's just, it is a blue-collar town, and sports are their identity. We love our sports in Minnesota. We do. It's part of our lives, and it's a passionate part of our lives, but it's their identity here. And if you're on the other side, that's an attack on their identity.
So, Chris Long, in your mind, who's more insecure deep down? Us, because we sort of apologize for being here, and our prediction for Sunday is, I hope we win, I don't have confidence, and I'm pretty certain that in the final quarter something's going to go drastically wrong. Or does the real insecurity lie with them, where it's all about trying to throw back in our faces all the championships that they've won in Philadelphia, which, of course, we all know don't really exist?
I mean, truth?
Yeah.
Us, because the people here, like, the Eagles losing is not a possibility. It's not going to happen. Elliott's going to come out. He's going to bang a 55-yarder. We're going to win it 16-14. No, there is no possibility that has them losing the game among Eagles fans. And as we know with Vikings fans, now maybe that's changed after last Sunday, there's always that something's going to go wrong. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
How is this going to... So, to your question, we are, by far, because this entire city is... We're going in 2 weeks. We're going to see him play the Patriots. It's going to be great, and there's no other possible end.
You know what, Chris? I thought of this right before the show. I was trying to think of... You know, this is weird. This is definitely... Two fighters that have a reason to maybe be a little bit on edge about what's happening here going into the fight, just based on history. And it kind of struck me, it's not quite apples to apples, but remember that Peter McNeely Mike Tyson fight?
I remember watching that when I was in college. Yeah.
So Tyson,
cocoon of fear. He was gonna put Tyson.
A cocoon of horror. Yes.
Horror. That's right. Damn.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So Mike Tyson, now at one point the greatest boxer in the world, but he hadn't fought in like 5 years because he was in jail, and that was his first fight back. And so, you know, he's probably not going to show a ton of bravado because it's my first fight back. Peter McNeely overprojected. Had all kinds of false bravado. If you watch the video before the fight with Mike Tyson, he pranced around the ring like a drunken gazelle. He swayed back and forth during the pre-match instructions, just firing off a machine gun of jabs. Well, Mike Tyson stood still and stared at him and then dismantled him when the bell rang. And the more I think about this, that's the vibe I'm getting. Like, both fan bases should have reason to feel terrible about an NFC championship game. And one fan base is thumping their chest. It's like, dude, Nick Foles is your quarterback. What are you doing?
But come on. You, of all people I know, should know they don't see themselves as McNeely in this town. You know exactly who they think they are.
Well, I guess they think they're Rocky Balboa, but he lost 23 fights in his career, Chris.
Yeah, so have they, but when it was important at the end, he won. So they're still thinking that storybook ending is there somewhere. And that's, look, in meeting these people, I've been to Philly a million times. I played hockey when I was in high school up and down this area, so I'm familiar with the area, but I haven't really been around the people as much as I have in the last 36 hours. I get why that movie worked. I get it. It's just, I don't know that I can think of any other movie where, you know, Rocky and Philadelphia match as well. I mean, it's like, I guess Cowboys in the West, you know, Westerns would fit. It just totally makes sense, more so than it ever has occurred to me. I mean, that's who they are. Everyone that I've met here, well, not everyone, most of the people I've met here, especially the ones that want to yell at me about how great the Eagles are, fit that bill.
Can you imagine, Chris Long, if it's the Vikings lose this game, it's bad enough to start off with, right? But then, yep. But then we are going to get the people that you are currently with infiltrating our town. This would be a double whammy of epic proportions.
You're also forgetting there also would be New England fans, probably. I mean, that's
I might move. I might just leave the state and never return.
Like, I think that Buffalo would burn the town down, but it'd be a little more fun to watch them do it.
Yeah.
If this happens, you know, Cowboy fans, nobody likes them, but they're upper crust. They're you know, they look down their nose at you. We're America's team. Yeah, you've got Patriots and Eagles fans potentially converging on downtown. That would be. Let's not think about that.
I would say yes. Honestly, I don't really have a problem with Patriots fans because at least they've earned it. I mean, that is the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. And so you want to trash talk and chirp and you want to be loudmouth, well, you can kind of back it up. But Chris, we're up against the clock. But I want to direct people just real quick. Like, you guys have Joe Schmidt in Texas with Case Keenum's parents. You've been out in Philadelphia. So where can people find the stuff that you're doing at Channel 5?
Right now, everything that we did last night was on the website. The things you mentioned is on KSTP.com. Go to the sports page. We're in every newscast, 5, 6, 9, and 10 all night. And if you miss it during the newscast, they're doing a great job back home putting stuff on our website. So you've got two ways to do it. If you're out of the market, you can stream us through KSTP.com, too, when the newscasts are on.
Hey, 10 seconds. Who wins?
Vikings should, right? I mean, if both teams play how they're supposed to, the Vikings should win.
Boom.
All right, Chris Long.
Thanks, Chris.
See you, boys.
All right, Chris Long, our buddy from KSTP. KSTP.com for all kinds of other content here. All right, we got another hour to go here. We all said Vikings cover the 3.
Yes.
Superstar Mike Morris is going to come in here when we come back. And, you know, we can keep the phone lines open, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. It's Mackie and Judd.